Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday afternoon. Congratulations. We have made it. Self-high fives all the way around. I have been looking at some of the things up in D.C., and I got to tell you something. I'm regularly appalled. Not shocked all the time, but man, the president comes out with what he calls an infrastructure bill, and you would be hard-pressed to find the actual infrastructure that is financed by this. So one of the guys, obviously, who's paying very, very close attention to this and all the shenanigans that are coming from the White House is our friend Rob Whitman. Rob Whitman, of course, is the congressman for the 1st District here in Virginia, happens to be my congressman, and I'm always happy when he's got time for us. Rob, thank you so much for being here.
Jeff, thanks so much for the opportunity to join you today. And I just want you to know, on Tuesday, I was in Jake's place, and I noticed along the window there were a whole row of Jeff Katz Show mugs. So I know that your presence in Beaver Dam is global.
Well, I'm sorry I missed you. That must have been the one day I wasn't over there to get lunch.
That's right.
And I promise I'm going to get you one or two of those mugs. You got some great staff people. I'd like to help them out. All right. So I got to ask you, because you know where all this stuff is buried in budgets and legislation. This so-called infrastructure bill, what the heck is in there for real?
Jeff, it is unbelievable. It is anything but an infrastructure bill. It's $2.25 trillion with only 6%, only $115 billion goes to roads and bridges. Think about it. Just in Virginia, the list of bridges that need to be replaced, called state of good repair, that means these bridges are in decay, they need to be replaced, are tens of billions of dollars. Just in Virginia. Mm. Now, how far is $115 billion going to go? And really, this spends more on Green New Deal-style projects than on roads and bridges. Remember, $115 billion for roads and bridges. It has $174 billion for subsidies for electric vehicles, $213 billion for subsidies for retrofitting houses, and $10 billion to create a civilian climate corps. I have no idea what that is. But those are the things that are going on. And listen, here are some of the comments. Senator Ed Markey said, this infrastructure package is a way of accomplishing many of the goals of the Green New Deal. So this is not about infrastructure. If it was, you'd be spending $2.25 trillion. I would prefer doing it different ways. But anyway, if this bill, this proposal was about infrastructure, you'd be spending it on roads and bridges and on broadband. Mm-hmm. And on ports and airports. But listen, if you combine all of that, 6% on roads and bridges, less than 5% on broadband, and only 2% on actual airports and ports, you know, dredging channels, making sure we can get ships in and out, those kinds of things. I mean, it is unbelievable what this is. And to fund this is the largest tax increase in American history, raising the corporate tax rate from 21 to 28%, raising taxes on, you know, he says the rich, but these are small businesses. These are businesses that pass through their income. And think about it. The Tax Foundation said that this is going to reduce long-term economic output by almost 1%, eliminate about 160,000 jobs, and reduce wages by 0.7%. I mean, this is going to have a problematic effect on the economy while funding not infrastructure, but funding Green New Deal initiatives.
Oh, it is. It's insane. So, look, I have to imagine that the Nancy Pelosi folks are all on board. It's going to pass the House, though, right?
Oh, I think absolutely it will. Yeah. I think Democrats will vote in favor of it. I think what they'll end up doing, since it's highly unlikely that it gets 60 votes in the Senate, I think they'll go back to using this budget reconciliation tool, which allows them to just pass things with, you know, simple majority. So 50 votes in the Senate. Now, they can only do that a limited number of times. They essentially used it once. They can only use it by the rules twice more. But I think they're going to try to do it on this, because I just don't see how, as partisan as this bill is, I just don't see how it gets any Republican support. I mean, it's just so outlandish. It's not even a serious attempt to address these infrastructure issues.
Wow. I mean, this it's amazing stuff. Congressman Rob Whitman is joining us. Congressman Whitman, of course, represents the 1st District here in Virginia. So we've got, now it's $2.25 trillion. I think when it started, it was even smaller than that. Then I just heard in the news that President Biden is asking for, what do they call it, a skinny budget? Does that sound right?
Yeah, skinny budget. He's going to put his budget out, which is just have kind of the top line items. It doesn't have all the details that you normally get from a presidential budget. But you can be assured that he'll be, you know, asking for many more additional spending requests in that, aside from the COVID-19 relief bill, which really only about 9% went to defeating the virus. Oh. And then now $2.25 trillion, where, you know, if you add it all up, just a little over 10% actually goes to anything that you could relate to infrastructure.
It's just incredible. And you know what, Rob? In another day and age, I would look at this and I would shake my head and say, well, this is just crazy. Nobody can possibly support this, be they Democrat or Republican. But as we both know, those days are past.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. These things have gone through. I mean, they used a partisan process to get through the COVID-19 relief bill. Remember, Jeff, the previous 4 COVID-19 relief bills were all bipartisan, and they had an opportunity to do this. And when the president said, oh, this is about unity, you know, I want to work with the other side, he met with those 10 senators and then completely discounted anything that they said and said, no, we're going to go big. We're just going to discount all Republicans in this process. The hundreds of amendments that we put forward as Republicans in the House completely rejected. So there wasn't even an attempt to make this bipartisan. It appears as though they're on track with this infrastructure bill to do the same thing. The interesting thing is there are actually some bipartisan concerns that have been raised. You hear that several members on the other side of the aisle are saying, hey, this 28% tax increase is too high. Raising taxes on the businesses are going to hurt the economy. Mm-hmm. So I even think some folks on the other side of the aisle are concerned. But I think they'll have enough votes in the House to pass it. I think Nancy Pelosi will twist enough arms to do that. And then if they go to the budget reconciliation rule where they only need 50 in the Senate, I think that they'll have the votes to be able to pass this through, too. Wow. And this is another $2.25 trillion that's not even fully paid for by these massive tax increases. They're going to spend even more than what they project coming in from these tax increases. So another element of tax and spend.
It is outrageous. And when you look at it, and if we could take all the politics aside, you say, all right, we've been through a really tough time with the COVID this last year. So many of our friends and neighbors have lost businesses. People have lost jobs. Is this really the time to impose a massive tax increase on the very businesses, the very companies that are trying to get back on their feet and help your friends and neighbors get back on their feet?
Jeff, it's absolutely not the right time. In fact, you know, as I travel around, in fact, this week I traveled around the district talking to businesses, and to a person, you know, they want the elements of what's happened in the previous policies to be looked at. As I talked to businesses, they said, hey, listen, we're having a problem getting staff, and we want to make sure that the state and federal government are taking care of people that are truly in need. But if it's creating an impediment for people to come back to work, then we are seeing the effects of that. And we are seeing it's tough for businesses to fully reopen because the economics are such that people do better staying home than they do coming back to work. And that certainly shouldn't be the incentive in any of these things that are going on. Another thing, too, is listen, we need to rebuild our infrastructure. That is a bipartisan effort. But why would you put it together in a completely partisan way to do that? This could be something you could point to and say, listen, we can come up with a bipartisan agreement here. Everybody across the board looks at it and says, yes, we need to do something on our bridges, our ports, our airports, our roads, broadband. Sure. I mean, I'm fully in favor of that. But to do it in this fashion is just a partisan exercise. And I think folks look at it and go, this really isn't a serious effort on infrastructure. This is calling something infrastructure into being completely something else. You know, why can't we get back to saying, let's have a serious discussion where you bring the minority to the table in a serious way. Mm-hmm. And in the Senate, you bring the Republicans to the table in a serious way. But there's not even an effort to do that. And the calls from small businesses to say, listen, do these things with the things that you have put in place with the COVID-19 relief bill that would actually help us. Please do those things. So listen, they've done some things in the COVID-19 relief bill that are good, that have been mm-hmm. helpful, but the vast majority of the things in that bill were purely partisan efforts. So, you know, to me, it ought to be about why can't we get to a point where we're doing things that we agree upon instead of saying, no, because we can do it, we're going to do it and put things through on a purely partisan basis. Just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. But we've seen now the last couple of days, yesterday, you've got Joe Biden, the president, out there again talking about taking away rights, talking about how our God-given rights in the Constitution are really his to mess around with. And he wants to really impinge on Second Amendment rights. Today, he's talking about assembling a commission, which I'm assuming the answer will be, because he appoints the members, will say, oh, yes, of course, we need to expand the Supreme Court for no reason other than pure partisan politics. It's ugly, Rob. Yeah. It's really ugly.
It is. It is. And this is all about the opposite of good policy. It's not about engaging the minority. It's not about engaging the 75 million people that didn't vote for Joe Biden. This is all about saying, because we can do it, we are going to do it. We're going to run roughshod over anybody that thinks differently from us. This is a purely partisan effort. And it's also, it appears to me, that it's about also gaining and maintaining power. This isn't about doing what's right for the people and listening to everybody. This is about, we're going to do it because we can do it.
Yeah. Boy, listen, a couple of moments ago, I mentioned your staff members, because I've had the opportunity to work with some of them in your district office. They're just wonderful, wonderful people. And for those who need more information, they'd like to know what's in this infrastructure bill. They'd like to know if they can still get help for their business. They'd like to know really what the heck is going on up there in D.C. What's the best way for them to access you and your staff and your resources?
Absolutely, Jeff. Well, they can the first and foremost is they can go to our website, and that's www.wittman, that's WITTMAN .house.gov, and they can go there and get that information. Also on the website there, it gives you how you can go to our Facebook page and follow us on Facebook. It has our contact information too for our district offices, and we have an office there in Mechanicsville for folks mm-hmm. locally there. The number there is 804-730-6595, or again, go to our website, whitman.house.gov, and you can subscribe to our weekly e-newsletter. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, and if you need to go to the office in Tappahannock, all the office information is there too. I know some folks listen to you in the Tappahannock area that are closer to Tappahannock. And we also have an office up in Stafford. So you can just go to our website. It gives you all the clearinghouse information. We'll have up-to-date information there, too, on the pieces of legislation that are out there. We'll give you information on this infrastructure bill, all the different things that are going on in Washington. And listen, we'd love to hear from folks, too. You know, we encourage folks to contact us. Let us know what you think about these proposals. And listen, I want to hear from everybody, folks that – like the bills, and folks that don't like the bills. Let us know what you do like about it. Let us know too what you think we should be doing. Those things are all incredibly important.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I always appreciate you making time for us. I do appreciate the hard work that your staff does. They really are the best of the best. And I look forward to seeing you soon, hopefully at Jake's.
Exactly. I hope, Jeff, we cross paths there at Jake's. And thanks again for giving a shout out to my staff. They are absolutely tremendous public servants. They are servant leaders in every sense of the word. And they come to work each and every day to make sure that we're out there helping people. So please don't hesitate to contact us. I believe I have the best staff of any member up on the Hill. So.
No doubt about it. That is Congressman Rob Whitman. He represents the 1st District here in Virginia. He is my congressman, and I'm being very, very sincere when I tell you that his staff is professional, responsive. They're good folks. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.